Retiring ISO New England CEO Van Welle reflects on 25 years at the RTO, written by John Lampson, and read by an automated voice. When Gordon Van Welle first started working for ISO New England in 2000, the organization had about 300 employees, few formalized systems and processes in place, and a resource mix dominated by nuclear, coal, and oil generation. Now, 25 years later, as he prepares to retire from the organization, ISO New England has roughly doubled in size and oversees a rapidly evolving grid set to serve as the backbone of an electrifying and decarbonizing economy. "The organization I came into was very much still in startup mode," said Van Welle, who is the longest-serving head of any ISO or RTO in the country. "There was a lot of work that had to be done just to set up all the formality around an organization that's going to clear, in some years, $20 billion. ISO New England was created in 1997 to manage the region's grid and power markets amid restructuring, and Van Welle was brought in just a few years later, initially serving as the organization's COO before his appointment as CEO in May 2001. "I was very fortunate to be in at the early stages of the design and development of the wholesale market structure as we know it today," Van Welle said. In the few years after Van Welle took over as CEO, ISO New England developed and launched its day-ahead and real-time markets and navigated a potential three-way merger with PJM and New York ISO. The merger, which was explored in response to FERC's interest in expanded ISO footprints, ultimately was abandoned due to the challenges of reconciling the differences between regions, Van Welle noted. He also oversaw ISO New England's transition to becoming an RTO in 2005, after FERC incentivized transmission owners to join RTOs across the country. This transition, and the negotiations that surrounded it, led to NEPOOL turning over filing rights for market rules to ISO New England and codified ISO New England's responsibility for transmission planning in New England. "The next big adventure," Van Welle said, "was the creation of the region's forward capacity market, which led to a major settlement proceeding down in Washington, D.C. ISO New England eventually ran its first forward capacity auction in 2008 for the 2010-11 capacity commitment period. The auction has been through 18 auction cycles, and the RTO in the midst of a major overhaul of the market intended to prepare the region for anticipated demand and supply changes associated with decarbonization efforts. The rise of gas generation. ISO New England's resource mix has experienced a dramatic shift during Van Welle's time with the RTO. As the fracking boom caused gas prices to plummet, the competitive wholesale markets help speed the transition from oil and coal to gas generation," Van Welle said. "In 2000, natural gas accounted for just 15% of generation in the region, while oil and coal accounted for a combined 40% of generation. By 2012, gas resources were responsible for 52% of generation, while oil and coal resources combined to account for about 4% of generation. Gas increased to about 55% of generation in the region by 2024. Following restructuring, there were billions upon billions of dollars invested in the region in generation assets," Van Welle said. "That, I think, would not have occurred as quickly as it occurred without the establishment of wholesale markets. The introduction of wholesale markets also has helped protect consumers from poor investments during this period," Van Welle said. He highlighted Dominion Energy's decision to spend nearly $1 billion to refurbish the Braden Point coal plant, only for the plant to become uneconomic in just a few years because of the rise in low-cost fracked gas. The plant retired in 2017. "That was a $1 billion investment made by private capital that New England ratepayers never incurred," Van Welle said. "It was not a good investment, and ultimately, wholesale market structure shielded consumers from those investments." Transmission investments. The gas generation boom was aided by the agreement in the early 2000s on a transmission cost allocation framework to regionally share the cost of reliability projects expected to bring system-wide financial benefits, Van Welle said. This helped enable major investments in transmission infrastructure, which increased transmission rates but reduced congestion costs and the need for reliability must-run contracts to retain retiring resources. These investments made it easier for new gas plants to come online, speeding up the turnover of the fleet, Van Welle said. "Today, New England has the lowest congestion costs of any RTO, coupled with transmission rates that are more than double the average rates in other RTO markets, according to Potomac Economics. The transmission investments made during this period also have helped New England prepare for accelerating load growth and a growing influx of renewable energy," Van Welle said. The RTO forecasted in its 2050 transmission study that the region likely will need to spend an additional $22 billion to $26 billion to meet load growth associated with heating and transportation electrification. "I think we made that investment at exactly the right time," he said, noting that the cost of new transmission infrastructure has increased rapidly in recent years, We laid a foundation at a time when transmission was inexpensive relative to today, he said. If you look at where we are today, we've got a very strong transmission system. It's well positioned to support the next stage of growth. Resource adequacy and energy transition. He said he's confident ISO New England has adequate resources to meet load and ensure reliability through 2030, but acknowledged there are valid questions about how to ensure resource adequacy in the 2030s and beyond. I'm confident the ISO is going to do what it needs to do, he said, pointing to the ongoing capacity market overhaul as a foundational ingredient to maintaining the successful trajectory we've had over the last 25 years. However, ISO New England cannot succeed on its own, and will need a supportive regulatory environment for markets to be successful, Van Welly added, emphasizing the need for support from both federal and state regulators and policymakers. If we have people pulling in opposite directions, it's going to make it that much harder for investors to have confidence in the market construct, he said. Reiterating his testimony from the recent FERC Technical Conference on Resource Adequacy, Van Welly said policymakers should work to reduce barriers to entry for new resources. He stressed that the wholesale market rests on the premise that you can price the prevailing supply and demand conditions and produce a price signal that will attract the investment. But whatever challenges lay ahead for ISO New England, Van Welly will be off the hook come January 1, 2026, when longtime CEO Vamsi Chalavada is set to take over at the organization's helm. I definitely will miss the ISO, Van Welly said, adding that he is looking forward to spending more time with family. I would like to stay involved in the industry in some way. So that's a new chapter in my life that I'm thinking through.